We'll go to our opening scriptures this morning from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Actually, the whole end of that chapter is wonderful, and it's hard to limit it to just a few. But there's some very important things that if they're put into place in our lives, it really makes a huge difference how a church body functions, not only in our personal lives, but with our other brothers and sisters in the faith, and not just when we all come together, but within the Christian community. These principles work where you work, whether you're working with saved or unsaved people or both, but these are things that the Lord expects of each one of us. Verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. In verse 15, "And let God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful." There are a lot of things there that we could just spend, well, I shouldn't say we spend several weeks just getting all of the goodies out of here, but it says put on. Therefore, when I think of put on, other translations say clothe ourselves or clothe yourselves. When you're getting dressed, it's like putting on something, and as believers, there's things that Paul uses that word put on several times, which tells me that believers have the ability or the choice or the will to put on bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies means really, it's an old expression, but it basically means from your heart, make a decision that these things are going to be a part of your Christian lifestyle. We can't just say that we're Christians and then go around and demonstrate to people that maybe there's some things missing in our lives. But it says, as the elect of God, we have to realize that God has chosen us. We are His elect. We're His chosen people. And I know people think of Israel. Israel was chosen by God also. But when we come to Christ, God chose us from before the foundation of the world, that we would be Abraham's seed, that we would receive the promises of Abraham. There are seven covenants in the Bible, but we've been chosen by God when we come to Christ. He chose us already before the foundation of the world. And so these are reasons that we should think about these things and make sure that we incorporate them into our lives. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. You'll notice how closely these resemble the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, because they're part of the new you and me. We sang the song Happy Days. It's more than just happy that our sins are gone, but happy that God has given us the opportunity to live a whole new life that we never had before we came to Christ. And these are part of it. And it has to do with our relationships with others. Are these qualities in our lives that we demonstrate? If people see you, do they see these things about you? Kindness. I've discovered over the years that it's so easy to just be kind to everybody, then I don't have to struggle at night, going to bed at night and wondering if I was fair that day with everybody. Because feelings don't have squat to do with this. You can feel like you don't want to be kind to somebody and therefore neglect to be kind. But feelings have nothing to do with it. These, we have to get out of the flesh to walk in these sometimes. By that, when I say get out of the flesh, most of you know the Bible talks about the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is the feelings part, the emotions part, the five physical senses. Paul called that a beggarly kind of life. That we have a life offered to us that takes us beyond being limited by our five physical senses. And so there are times in our lives when we're going to have to die to what the flesh would want to do, what our minds think about a person, and neglect to show them these things. Because did Christ neglect to show these qualities to each of us? No, he didn't. And you say, yeah, but that was him. Ah, yeah, but his Holy Spirit lives in us. And so we have to get out of ourselves to let that kindness flow from the Spirit of God that dwells in each one of us. And that isn't always easy. I want to bless people with a brick once in a while too. You know? But you see, that's maybe how I feel, but how I respond, it must reflect these qualities, because we all are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the third of the Trinity. So, just as Jesus came and demonstrated what God is like, God's purpose for us to be saved wasn't because he was lonely and needed a few to hang out with him in heaven. We're born again because we carry his nature to this lost world. Just as Jesus came to show what God is like, we're born again to show what he's like. And so when people see these qualities in us, the whole thing about that is to show others, this is what my Heavenly Father's like. And it takes humbleness of mind sometimes to come down off of my lofty place of what I think about somebody to realize that if I would just remember what God thinks about them, that would be very helpful in the actions that I take after I've had those thoughts. Oftentimes, we act on what we think, and the Word says that, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So, as we renew our minds to the Word, we begin to think more godly about other people because we begin to think the way God thinks towards them. And if you're having trouble loving somebody, I challenge you, go on a 3-day fast and ask God to show you 2 reasons why he loves that person that you can't handle. It probably won't take a 3-day fast. God will answer you just like that. And that's very helpful. Forbearing one another. I used to think that meant, just put up with somebody. No, it means to embrace them as a fellow brother and sister in the faith, or another person whom God loves. God loves the unsaved just as much as he loves us. And sometimes we forget that. Because if he didn't love us before we were saved, there wouldn't be a whole lot of hope for any of us. Forgiving one another. Oh my, we were just talking with somebody yesterday that hasn't spoke or exercised forgiveness within a family for 40 years. That's how long the Israelites wandered in the desert, and many of them fell by the wayside. 40 years of harboring unforgiveness within a family. That's half of your lifetime. Why do you want to live on the ugly side of life? I can't get into my mind, no matter how evil a person has been or wronged me in my life, 40 years, it seems like I should be able to get over that before that 40 years was up. It's really hard for me to, because now it's easy to say that as a Christian, isn't it? But when we're not saved, we can hold on to stuff as long as we want to, but we suffer for it. The other person most of the time doesn't even know that's going on, and we're just making ourselves worse off than if we just let things go. And not only that, but Jesus talked about the manner of forgiveness that we're to extend to others is the same way that he forgave us. He didn't leave a few notches in the pole, you know, along the things that we were forgiven for and leave a few out. And above all these things, you know, if we can, he just keeps piling, if we can get through all of these, then he says, and above all these things, put on love, the agape love, the God kind of love, the unconditional love, because those are the bond of perfection. A bond is a seal. These qualities in our lives that are reflected are the seal of the perfection that Christ sees in you. When God sees you, remember one of the days when we had communion and I held up that little plastic cup and I said, hold that up in front of somebody's face and tell me what you see? And you couldn't see the person. All you could see was the juice in the cup. And I said, that was an instantaneous demonstration of how God sees every person. He doesn't see them except through the blood. That's the bond, that's the seal of maturity and perfection in Christ, that we grow to that point where that's how we see others. We see them through the blood of Jesus Christ, spotless, without blemish, without fault, without wrinkle. That's how God sees all of us, through the blood. Makes me want to run downstairs and get some. But I had some already. And then after that, this last one, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. So you don't have to, we don't have to go around with agitation or irritation or aggravation or any of those kind of things down on the inside of us. And we can walk in that peace that God has for us, because all of these things above that produce peace. If I've not forgiven someone, if I've got a tiff going on with someone, the Holy Spirit won't let that go. And I won't really be at peace inside until I make it right. And in our faith with Christ, we're not called to wait until the other person comes to us. We're supposed to be the ones that initiate the reconciliation process. But pride stops us from doing that sometimes. Humbleness of mind, you see, will take care of the pride issue. See how all these things work to form more of that Christ-like character within us. That's why here at Renewed Life, I've noticed over the years that we don't have cliques among us, because there's a constant, we're a word church, and there's a difference between preaching at the lost or teaching one another the word so that we can all learn and grow together into what the New Testament church should look like. And when Paul writes these letters to the churches that he fathered, all of these characteristics and traits are all new to these people. They weren't born like this. They all lived in a world or a city of sin and idolatry and all kinds of evil going on in their generation, just as we do. But the Lord never changes, and he works his character into us. And so these are really good. They keep us on track, so that when people come here, maybe the first time, until they know us, they're not sure that it's real. But over the course of time, our lives reflect this is real, and it really does change us. The Word of God changes us down on the inside so that we become what the Father says we are. We become who he says we are. His promises never fail. This peace thing, though, it says, let the peace of God rule. That tells me that if you don't want to, you can just go ahead and be ugly and irritated all day long and You can stay mad all day and go home mad and tear up your house when you get home and go to bed all ripped up and wake up the next day more ugly than the day before. Even a woodchuck won't want nothing to do with you. You'll stay in his hole that day. But we don't have to live like that. If you want the peace of God, it's available. And it says, we're called to that. Part of our calling is that we be people of peace. Not look, all you got to do is say you're a Christian, and that'll do it sometimes. That'll stir the pot up. But you can maintain your peace in the midst of all of that. I don't mind stirring up the pot. I love going to the post office and just every once in a while just say, isn't Jesus awesome? And they just drop everything and freak out. Whoops, I dropped my mail. No, you just got some mail, dude. Well, I better stop now with the opening verse. We'll just greet each other. The scripture you brought this morning, Mary, was so appropriate. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Ah, praise the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. Last week, those of you that were not here, I handed out an introduction to a series of teachings we're going to do on motivational gifts. Motivational gifts are gifts that God has put down on the inside of us from birth. And before we're saved, we're good at practicing those gifts, but not for His glory. And it's important to understand how anything that comes from the Lord works together in unity through His body of believers. And so I have a questionnaire that's designed to help you to find your motivational gifts. And so those of you that weren't here, I want to give you one of these so that you can take these home. And when you finish them, bring them back for your sake, because they will be, as we go through these, you will find, as each one comes up, if one of your gifts is serving, for instance, or showing mercy, that's going to reveal what those are. So this is kind of going to be a seminar format a little bit for a few Sundays, and they're going to be in a series. And I didn't really want to start it too much last week because I didn't know how to set up the computer to start recording them. And this week, I also have the companion handout. This is a handout, church. A good one, though. Amen. You'll get one of these that has the seven listed, where you find them, and this will be the cover sheet that we're going to start the lessons from today. And I really hope you will find these to be of great help to you, and also to show you part of God's grand design for His body, the New Testament church. And you're welcome to keep these, because this is the beginning of where we'll start with today. So those of you that brought back your motivational gift survey from last week, as we get started, you'll see how all of these flow together, and hopefully you'll have a better understanding of your part in the body of Christ, chosen by God, called by God, anointed by God, blessed by God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There you go. And I gave you your two? I did already, okay? Okay, that goes with the one you got last week. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you didn't get the first one, did you?
I did
it last week? Okay, very good. Everybody got one?
Yes.
With his happy little character jumping around?
Oh, not me.
Not you.
Not till next week.
Not till next week. Oh, then you'll be jumping around, right?
Two in one week?
Yeah. Okay, everybody got one. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 12, where we're going to find all of these listed. And in the beginning of your little cover sheet I just handed you, you can see these in a graph right directly from the scriptures, but we'll read the scriptures first. The motivational gifts are listed starting verses 6 through 8, but I would like to do the introduction from the verses just before that, starting in verse 3 of Romans 12, so that you kind of see context of where these all fit. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Oftentimes, letters that Paul wrote like this to the churches addressed issues that were going on within the body of believers. You have to understand, a lot of these churches were new. They were the first born again, New Covenant, New Testament churches. And so letters of instruction were written by Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that the believers, when they came together, would know what's expected of them. Because you got to know, when you first get saved, there's so many things there are to learn, and so helpful. And I think the last time I did this, Tom and Carol had just started coming, so I know it's been 8 or 9 years maybe since we did these. And there are new ones among us that have not been here that long. So those of you that have been and you remember when I did this a long time ago, it's still of great benefit to be refreshed, to be reminded of what your gifts are and how you fit in to God's design for the church, the body of Christ. When I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about the true New Testament church, the body of born-again believers. It's a universal church. It's all over the world. So you and I are part of that, and I want you to think big. Don't think the 20 or so of us that are here this morning. I want you to think big. Get beyond the four walls here and realize the bigger picture. Because sometimes we get kind of closed in together. We're kind of an intimate group. And you know, we just really have learned and know each other pretty well. But there's a bigger picture. And so Paul is addressing the bigger picture. Not to think of himself more highly as he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And this is really important, because what happens when you realize this one truth, even before we get into the various gifts that God has put down on the inside of us, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, because God has given each one of you the measure of faith. The measure is an exact prescribed portion of faith that you will ever need in your life. It will last you your whole life to function in the gifts that God has given you. And what that does is that heads off the opportunity for a spirit of envy and jealousy to come into a church and think of, oh, look at that person, they prophesy. Oh, look at that person, they're such givers, and become envious and jealous of others' giftings in the body of Christ, not even realizing that you also have been given the measure. It doesn't say a measure, it says the measure. And that's really important for you to get a hold of that. You have been given the measure of faith by God Himself to function and flow in your part in the body of Christ, and you have no need of that which somebody else has, because God has equipped you. So that right away, that closes the door And I know I visited churches. Some of you have come from other churches, and there's a lot of strife and cliques and little things going on within the body. And a lot of times it's because people don't recognize the call and gifts that God has put upon his body, and they get jealous and envious and in strife. And Paul addresses those issues and says, we're still babies if we're into all of those things. So this is going to help us as we go through these next. I'd like to try to do one a week once we get through the first part of this. I'm not saying that we can for sure, but I know that we'll be in this for a little while, maybe 8 or 9 weeks. So please, if you are interested enough to catch what you missed, if it might be a Sunday that you're not here, at least sign up for a CD so that you can have the entire set. Because if you miss one, that's going to be crucial to, it might be yours that gets missed that week. And it's important that when we go through these, that you hear the part that goes with the gift that you have so that it helps you better understand it, how you might utilize it, and jobs in the secular world, if you will, that correspond and interrelate to the gifts that God has given you so that no one is left behind, no one is left short, no one's been left out. You're all very important to God in his body. Okay, so verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same office, so we being many are one body, and everyone members one of another. And that's kind of what I basically just said. Think of the bigger picture. You and I are members of Christ's body. And so that's the true church. That's the true biblical church. It's not about being Baptist. It's not about being Pentecostal. It's not about being Catholic. It's not about being Lutheran. It's not about anything that man has put his name on and built. The body of Christ is the church that Christ built. And so that makes it very important to God. And now, step 6, and you can go along with it on the, you'll see them listed. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. On ministry, let us wait on our, or he that teaches, on teaching, or he that exhorts, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now the rest of that chapter is very good too, and it kind of ties into where we were in Colossians chapter 3. But you'll see those 7 listed. And I tried to really make this as uncomplicated as possible, because I have seen and read and studied some incredibly complicated, way so deep that even I had a hard time understanding it, about how the body of Christ works. There have been many books, many study manuals written about this, but I don't want to lose anybody, and even someone even like Jamie should be able to understand this. And I don't mean to make light of the importance of that. It's very important. The motivational gifts, you'll see, are given by God to the individual believer. That's a truth. Ministry is the believer given by God to the body of Christ. Now, in your little chart, ministries, those are listed in Ephesians chapter 4 through 11, and you see the fivefold ones, but you also see in that workers of miracles, healing, helper, ministry of helps, administrator, or diversities of tongues. These are all other giftings in the body of Christ, and the person, the believer, that is called of God and flows in any of these, they are a gift to the body of Christ. So you as a person are a gift by God given to the body of Christ. And here among us, let's now think locally within these four walls. Each one of us is a gift by God to the rest of us in the room. Now, what does that do once you have a revelation and an understanding of that? How does that affect your relationships together if you realize that the person beside you is a gift to you sent by God Himself? How does that change your attitude towards another believer? How does that change the way you treat one another? How does that change the way you regard each other more highly than yourself? See, this thing has tentacles into all aspects of our faith, and that's why these are really important. When you understand that the person beside you or in front of you or behind you is a gift to you from our Heavenly Father, it starts to cause us to become more respectable, more respectful, and to honor one another and to show each other favor and mercy. And even though believers get in the flesh and do some things that irk us, because we've all been there, we've all done it, so it's time to fess up today and get that behind us. All been there, done that. We've offended somebody at least once. We've hurt somebody at least once. But those things will gradually work out of us. The Holy Spirit is always at work inside of each one of us so that we begin to start coming into that realm that God calls the body, and we begin walking it out. That's why there's so much love in this house, because some of us have learned these things and some this might be new, but together we'll all have it in the end. And you'll see, I gave you these so that you can always have these and go back and review them, because you can take these and teach them to somebody else, maybe somebody that doesn't come to church, but these would be a really good Bible study as well. So that's kind of why I like to put it in a format so that you kind of have a hard copy to work from. So ministry is the believer given by God to the body of Christ. And up on your graph, then you're going to see what oftentimes is called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I choose not to use it in that context because Paul doesn't. The word gifts was in italics in Romans chapter, no, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where you'll find these listed. And a lot of you coming from a Pentecostal background will recognize these: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those should not be strange to most of you, probably all of you actually, if you've been in a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church. Those won't be unfamiliar to you. Those are various ways that the Holy Spirit in you chooses to manifest Himself in any of those ways. And actually, the way Paul wrote those in 1 Corinthians is he calls them manifestations of the Spirit. We've been given the gift, the Holy Spirit, but how He chooses to manifest Himself is not really a gift to us, and it's not something that we possess as a gift. It's the way that the Holy Spirit chooses to manifest Himself through you to another individual. So we're vessels that contain His presence. How He chooses to, and actually you can read, you'll see it over and over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where these are listed, as the Spirit wills. And that's important. You can't work up a gift in the Spirit. And you can't go around and pretend that you quote-unquote have something when really you have the Spirit for sure, but you have not control over how He chooses to manifest Himself. The Scriptures are very clear that that's a work of the Spirit Himself. He's the one that wills. He's the one that chooses. These you do have that are dwelling on the inside of you. And I just want to throw out an example. When we're done going through these, you can see now manifestation is what the Holy Spirit determines is the appropriate release of Himself in any ministry situation for the common good of all. And you'll find those phrases repeated. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man that he may profit, that he may it would be advantageous to you that you be submitted to the Holy Spirit and let Him use you. That's why one of the things that we have here at the church, not only our statement of faith, but also that you are free to be used of the Lord in any gift that He's given you without restrictions. The worst that could happen is we might miss the Lord in something and have an opportunity to learn and grow from that. But you have to understand that this is a very free church. If we can't practice these things among ourselves and have freedom and liberty given to us by the Lord, then we'll just sit here and fill up airspace, and when it's time to go, we brought nothing, we gave nothing, and we went home with nothing. And that's not the vision for renewed life. Renewed life is a teaching, training up church to help you to be more effective in the various ministries that God has given you, and you have the liberty and the freedom to exercise those freely here among us. And you really need to hear that, really hear it in your spirit. Yes, Peggy.
At the end of our last song that we sang, the Lord wanted me to tell all of you that you're so precious to Him, each and every one of you. I held back. I couldn't say it. I just have to tell you that each and every one of you is so precious to Him. He loves you so much. And you're all individual, and He loves you in each individual way. And I have to remember to tell Faith and the girls that too, because I was supposed to say it then, and that's just been working on me.
Amen. But see, that's how it works.
I apologize to all of you.
No,
we're holding back.
But we're all learning. You see, you won't get any retribution or chastising or anything like that. We learn together. But the neat thing of it is, see, you knew it was the Spirit. See, that's a teachable moment. And don't think that you can't interrupt something, because all of this is going to work together and you'll see it. Yes.
I wanted to thank her for giving that word now.
Yes.
It was so meaningful to me right now.
Yes, thank you. It absolutely is. And when God gives you a word, it's not only for your own edification, but it builds up others too and brings encouragement, because, see, this already, I benefited by that. That blessed me too. Because sometimes we can seem to be unnoticed by others. But God, we're never unnoticed by God. And those kind of words remind us of who our Father really is. Thank you. Now you see, I could be accused of splitting hairs, but I'll take the risk because I'm learning with you guys, okay? When you spoke that, that's a word of knowledge. And I'll tell you why. A word of knowledge describes the present situation as God sees it. And that word described His love for each one of us and how He sees us. So that's present. A word of wisdom would be something that pertains to a future event. But a word of knowledge is a now moment. And make sure that you take that home for you too. Would you do that for me? Amen. Okay, so you see, that's for the common good of all of us. And now, when we exercise our motivation, Romans 12, 6 through 8, going back to the chart, through our ministry, any one of those in the middle there, or any of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit determines what manifestations will be needed to make our ministry successful. Therefore, we are not to seek after the manifestations, but to concentrate on our motivation or gift and the most effective ministry through which it can be expressed. In other words, each one of us has been given a ministry, gifts, or callings of the Lord, all to work together to glorify Christ. And the Holy Spirit, whenever He enables us or empowers us or speaks to us or ministers through us, everyone benefits from that. If it's of the flesh, it's kind of going to break the flow of the atmosphere, if you will. But the worst that could happen is we recognize it and we just learn from that. Even if what you said was of you, it edified the body. But it wasn't because it bugged you until you said something. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll just put something inside of you, and you'll think you're just busting out. I just got to say it sometimes, and just blurt it out. But make sure it's quiet in the room when you do, so we get the benefit. If Kenny's in the middle of a riff on the keyboard, wait until he quiets down a little bit so you can hear it, so that we all can. You know, there's just a few simple house rules, if you will, that can make it all work together. And I'm really excited about these. So let's see. The first one is listed as prophecy or prophesying. And also on your little sheet, if you turn to the last page, this is the introduction that I wanted to try to get established today, so that the following weeks we can actually start looking at the individual gifts themselves. And you'll see we will find the motivational gifts listed in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. These gifts are absolutely vital to the overall functioning of the body of Christ. In other words, the week that you're not here, the body won't function in its fullness and capacity, because you're the person with that gift that's needed that day. Unless someone else has it, you'll find on those charts that you took that test last week, if you will, that you may have one, two, three, or maybe more of them. And you will find some of you may have light gifts. But they're similar to the various parts of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 through 26. I would like to have a look at those, because a lot of times 1 Corinthians chapter 12, many times we jump right to the spiritual manifestations, and we forget to read the first part of chapter 12, because that's a little bit more in depth. It's a true picture of the body of Christ. So 13 through 26. Everybody got them? First chapter 12, okay. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Because, you see, I have to stop there, because there are so many people that think that just because they're not, quote-unquote, out there in the limelight all the time, it's like faith. With Faith and I'm always up front. She almost sits in the shadows at times. And if she and I didn't understand how these things work, she could be very, very almost wondering, does anybody ever notice me? And in the church in general, there are lots of people that feel that way. And because maybe I'm not the hand, but I'm the foot, or I'm the foot and I'm not the eyes, does that make me less important? Am I less relevant? And believe it or not, believers feel that way. They really do. And in ministry, I'm sharing a few treasures from this side, because so many times find myself oftentimes drawn into conflict resolution, and it really comes down to 99% of the time people don't understand how the body is designed by God to work. And so many things can be so much better if we all see the bigger picture of how God has made every person important. Your word today, Peggy, confirms that very truth. You see, God loves each one of us with such a passionate love, and He's gifted each one. But that doesn't mean that the foot is worth more than the ear, or the hand is worth more than the eyes. Everything fits together. Coming back to the scriptures, verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not out of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You see, if the eye could speak, if you were an eye in the body of Christ, and you put voice to that, you would say, well, I'm not the eye, I'm the ear. Does that mean I'm not part of that body? Does that mean this? If the whole body were an eye, then where would the hearing come from? If the whole body were the ears of the body, if you will, then how could there be the sense of smell?
Probably because I didn't wash my feet.
Got to lighten up a little bit. But now, this is really cool. But now, God remembers every one of them in the body as it has pleased Him. And it's always important as believers that we understand the things that are pleasing to God. He never does anything that doesn't please Himself. And it's all for our benefit too. And if they were all one member, then where were the body? Man, I used to mow the lawn, do the service, teach Sunday school, paint the building, and Faith would help me, and we thought we're the only ones here doing anything. You know, in the beginning, going back 26 years ago. And then God began to add people. And Ken and Laurie worked with the church. They were very instrumental with the church and ended up with a leadership position for a period of time too before they came to us. And they saw how these principles worked. There are times in ministry when you can think that you're the only one because you're the only one that's there to do anything. But God didn't design His body that way. He designed each of us to help, to meet all of those needs so that no person gets burned out. I'd rather get burned up, consumed with the fire of the Holy Ghost than to get burned out. Actually, I help people to go through burnout because I've never been burned out. I don't expect to be. Every week I come, the Word of God refreshes me. There's always something fresh and alive to bring. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need. Well, could you imagine trying to feed yourself if you had no hands? What'd you do? Stick your face in your plate and go, that's the best you could do. Now see, Paul's using the physical parts of a body to illustrate the spiritual body of Christ. Without all my comments. Nor the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Now, much more, those members which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And if you go down through all of this, you deal with issues of low self-esteem, people who gravitate towards, well, I just went to my class reunion last weekend. And I thought, out of all my class, I'm the youngest looking one. And because I, you know, we all see each other differently, I suppose. But the same clique that was in my high school class 50 years ago was still there last weekend. And I still didn't fit in. And especially since I got saved.
Did you fit in with your clique?
Did I fit in with my foot?
Your clique.
Oh.
Your clique.
No. No. No, wasn't one.
So you didn't fit in enough?
No, I was looking at my old yearbook in the comments that my class wrote. Oh, I had gifts all right. That's what's so exciting, because you're going to see as life goes on, you're going to realize Faith and I had the gift of instigating parties. We'd get a bag of dope and a bottle of tequila and go knocking on people's doors in the campground. You know, we'd instigate a party. But now when we got saved, that same gift of exhortation, encouraging, is still there, but we do it with Bibles and the Word of God. You know, the gift is there, you're born with it, but we serve the wrong master at the time and we don't even realize it. Some of us were really good at it. You know, and then you get saved and that gift is still there, but it's now being used by the Holy Spirit to encourage and to bless other people for the right reasons. And so this whole thing about the body is really important, because like my class, people were drawn to and shown the more favor to all the pretty ones, if you will, all of those that have the appearance of being the best looking ones, the smartest ones, the ones that parted their hair on the right side of their head, or whatever. It's all flesh. And that draws people like that. But the body of Christ is drawn by God, and He sees each one of us as precious and special, like that word Peggy said. Oh, I'm so glad you waited to say it, because now it all fits better. See, we might have lost that if you spoke it too soon. To bring it into the very beginning of this, because you didn't know the scriptures I was going to bring. And look at how that fit. Man, we can go home and just know that God spoke to us today. And that's really awesome. And this word, it confirms what you heard. And that's why it's fun to learn together. Our Bible studies are like that. We really enjoy learning together. And that you're just as free as me. And if you got something to add that fits with it, don't ever think that just because we got a CD, you can't do that. It's just hard to hear it because there's no microphones out there. But your word is important. And if you've got something to say, we will hear it at least. So anyway, coming back to your little flyers I gave you, the part that's in black and white, as we read these verses, which we just quickly did in 1 Corinthians 12, we will discover that there are seven of these motivational gifts listed. They are prophecy, the eyes of the body. Okay, when someone prophesies something, they see something in the spirit realm, and they speak it forth. Okay, they speak what the Holy Spirit is showing them. So that's just a brief. Prophecies like the eyes of the church to see things. Ministry, serving, those are the hands. Hands are helpful, like the third Sunday of the month when we have our pot blessing dinner downstairs. You never have to ask anyone to help wash the dishes afterwards or wipe off the tables or put the chairs back or whatever, because there are people among us who are gifted in serving. You never have to ask. They see the need and they just do it. And that's wonderful. Teaching is like the mind of the Spirit, if you will, to the body. Exhorting, you exhort by speaking. So you're like the mouthpiece, if you will. Giving, those are like your arms. You extend, if you will, in your giving. And always remember, keep your hands open when you're giving, because if we become tightwads, it's hard to give because we're not willing to release in our heart, and God has a hard time taking your knuckles and breaking your fingers open so he can put something back in your hand. Always remember that when you give, it's like an extension of yourself, your hands and your arms going out. Ruling is the head under Christ's authority. Mercy is the heart of God, and it's the heart of his body. So those are very brief, and we made it through okay. Timing is good. But next week we will start, and we will look at each one in a little more detail. And those of you that just got your spiritual, your motivational gifts questionnaire, bring that back when you're finished with it. And as we go down through each one of these, you will see a more detailed description of that gift and how it applies in your life, so that you're better able to identify where you fit in and how important you are as a person to God. And Peggy already jumped the gun and told us all what God said about us. I love it. So anybody that wants prayer this morning, please come up. I know we're old fashioned by today's standards, and it's just this very important. God likes to manifest himself to you and your need, and however that chooses to be, that's up to him. We're just the vessels that carry him, and we pray for one another, and we're called to do that.